Okay, so Perek Chaf Gimel. So this is continuing on the theme that we saw last week, which was itself a pivot. It was a pivot to a little bit more heavy, almost you could say perhaps scary or depressing, after you know the previous Prakim, which were all about the incredible reward if you are learning Torah. So last week already we saw about the horrible punishments if a person doesn't learn Torah. So continuing on that theme, we move from all the terrible punishments that a person could receive in this world to now, Chav Gimel, V'chein Acher P'tiraso Mizeh Ha'olam, all the potential, God forbid, punishments in the next world. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kol Ha'marpe Atzmo.
I have a concept of question,
please. In the middle of something, no. Kol Ha'marpe Atzmo Midivrei Torah, Nofel B'Gehenim. So someone who weakens his hand from Divrei Torah will fall to Gehenim. V'amr Shom Od, Kol Ha'parash Atzmo Midivrei Torah, V'Osek B'Divrei Sicha, Eish Ochaloso, right? Fire will consume him. Now, not to in any way, be mezalzel in the Zohar, of which we'll see plenty shortly, or some other mystical work. But like, this is not that. This is the Gemara. So yes, you could suspect. You know, I wouldn't be offended if you said this seems a little bit grandiose or hyperbolic, and maybe it's metaphoric, maybe, or maybe not. But it's still. You know, whether you take it literally or not, it's clearly the Gemara is conveying, you know, quite severe condemnation in the next world for someone who, you know, didn't stay connected to Talmud Torah. With Mishlei Rabase in the Medrash on Mishlei, Parsha Yud, commenting on the pasuk there, Ozev Tochachas Mat'eh. Someone who forsakes Tochacha will be led astray. So what is that referring to? Rabbi Lazar, I think it is, called Talmud Chacham Shu Ozev Divrei Torah. This refers to someone who had been connected and then leaves Torah. Ki'ilu Tateya. It's as if he is being led astray or deceiving. It's not really clear how to translate that word. But Mish Amr Vayolam, which is obviously euphemism of God. So this medrash makes it very personal, right? It's not just you did the wrong thing. You know, that's, you know, I think I mentioned that. I think I'm not sure if it was in last week's Chabur or some other context. Who was it I was speaking to when I was saying that? You know, it's often, you could say, the rabbi's fault, frankly, but, you know, the sprach, the sicha, you know, in our community is keeping Torah, keeping halacha, it's all about, right? But we don't often talk about Hashem, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, here, it's not just like you did the wrong thing, you didn't keep halacha, right? That's, like, bad enough, honestly. But this is basically, like, you backstabbed, you betrayed, you know, Hashem. You are metatea in Hashem. And basically, it's kind of like a spurned lover or something like that. You know, okay, you know, you don't want to give me the time of day. That's okay. I'm not going to give you the time of day. So it says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you in this world could have spent so much time with me. You could have been, you know, we could have had, we could have gone for a long Shabbos walk 7 days a week. You know, a little spatzir on the boardwalk, schmoozing together. You know, what you might call afternoon seder. Hashem might say, let's schmooze, let's talk. Let's, you know, I have something I want to tell you. Open up the Gemara. I have something to say to you. Let's stay in dialogue. Let's be connected. You didn't do that in this world. It's okay, no problem. And in the next world, I'm not going to be interested in talking to you. Whoa. Okay. Now we're ready. So we had a Gemara and a Medrash. We have our Zohar, our first Zohar, not our only. Don't worry. Our first Zohar. Vikra Cafe. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Zakain Inun Mare Dishmasa. Praised are those Bali Neshama, basically, right? People who died. Mare Daraisa. People who had been studying Torah. B'nei Pulchana Damalka Kadisha, those who are in Avodas Hashem, their service of Hashem. Vai li'inun chayavin delo zakayin istabka b'mareyon. On the other hand, vai, like, woe is to me, oi, to those who are in trouble because they were not zoche to be mitdabek, right, to cleave in their master, in Hashem. V'lo zakayin b'araisa, and they didn't have the schus, they didn't get close to Torah. The koman delo zachi b'araisa, lo zachi lo lo baruach, v'lo ben hashama. I don't exactly know what the difference between those two things are, but obviously the repetition or the combination of those says the Zohar very powerfully that anyone who doesn't have a connection to Torah is not going to basically have a connection to life. Lo baruach, v'lo neshama. V'it dabugusa didhon bahu sitra de zinin bishin. And on the contrary, he won't be connected to something, you know, the spiritual forces of the neshama, malachim, whatever he's referring to, up in the other world. But instead, he will be very much connected to the dark forces. V'hai lesle chaluka de kedusha. He has no connection, no chelik in kedusha. V'ilei kad yipok mahay alma Ta'eshmoda hu lagabe inun zinin bishin. Again, woe is to us who have this kind of terrible punishment, who are abandoned, or he becomes known. Such a person, when he leaves Olam Hazeh like this, he becomes known, like for this bad thing. He becomes known against the people who are with chutzpah, takifei kekalevei. They somehow have they're difficult like dogs. Shluchei denura gehenem, right? And the shluchim of the big fires in gehenem, they're going to get to know this person. V'lor merachmei ala, and ain't anybody have mercy on him. So I can't say I understand a fraction of all that, but I'm going to go on a limb here and say, not good. Definitely not good, right? And again, it's very graphic. It's very almost personal. And again, unlike what we said from last week's parak, which spoke about in this world, here we have a very strong emphasis and a clear condemnation of what's going to happen to a person in the next world if they're not connected to the Torah. So in a similar way, we have another Zohar, this time in Parshas Vayeshev. Achar sheherich sham v'godol shivcho u'madregoso shel osik b'Torah, which I think we saw in one of the previous parakim, which is, this is one of the great sources in Zohar. It speaks about the great reward that one will get in Torah. V'olam hazeh, the Olam Haba, both in this world and the next. Amar Achar Zeh, but after that, the glass is not only V'hayim Shamoa, there's also V'lim Lo Tishma, right? Like, this, it goes hand in hand. Educationally, it's an interesting question, or maybe it's just obvious at this point, but you could certainly, in theory at least, you could say, which has the greater, impetus? What will motivate people more? The promise of reward or the threat of punishment, right? The carrot or the stick, as the saying goes. I think it's generally assumed nowadays for most people, whether it's educationally or with their parents, that the default should be more of the carrot. I don't know if that was always true in history. Maybe something's changed psychologically or educationally. But I'm pretty sure, at least I speak not only as a Rebbe, but I speak more as a parent even. I don't think you could have all one. You certainly wouldn't want to have all fear. I don't think that's going to be a recipe for success long term. But it's not clear that only love will also work. In other words, sometimes people need to know that there are consequences, and sometimes you need to scare people, for their own good, not so much because you want to be mean.
I saw something recently, like an article, like a guy living in Dubai, basically, separate thing, but basically, yeah. Dubai is too safe, and that like all the. As in for his kids, he wouldn't necessarily want to raise his kids.
Because what's wrong with that?
Because it's too safe. And if you go out in the world,
it doesn't prepare you. It
doesn't prepare you properly.
They claim. I didn't hear that about Dubai. I was in Dubai last summer with my son for 4 days.
Abu Dhabi, one of the.
I was in Dubai, and it was probably the same in that regard. It's one of the side benefits of a totalitarian country, so to speak. Is like people aren't. You don't have petty crime. There's no soft on crime prosecutors. You're going to get your hand cut off. You don't mess around, So it's true that, but you're right, because there's no crime, then people that aren't exposed to that. You're right, I hear that. It's reminiscent. I don't know if this is just the way, urban myth or urban legend or actual real doctors say this, but I think I never saw a study on this, but I would say as a predicate, it's unquestionable to me, just speaking anecdotally, but I have no doubt, there's far more allergies in your generation than were mine.
Sure.
I didn't know anyone who had allergies when I was a kid. Now everyone does, including my own kids. Right? So where'd that come from? So I think some people have this theory, at least with certain allergies, that people aren't exposed as much,
and therefore. Something with Bamba.
Right.
Israelis don't have peanut allergies.
Right. So my son has very serious tree nut allergies, just not peanuts. Everything but peanuts. I don't know if that's because of Bamba or not, but that's just fact. My son could, God forbid, he needs an EpiPen. From other kind of nuts, but not from peanuts. I think even this is a big discussion. Even I think this is part of the fear. Even in the medical community with the masks and corona. If you don't get exposed to anything, then eventually it's going to be. So here also, being aware of the downside is certainly helps. You're not always feeling inspired, but sometimes you still need a little guardrail.
Yeah,
exactly. When you're not hungry for carrots, you still might need the stick. Anyway, so continuing on the stick theme, that's the theme of our parak. So even though this very same Zohar, it's not just that I'm saying you need balance in general. This very Zohar started off with all the love and all the carrot, but now says, you should just know you're playing with fire if you don't do it. Amar Acharze, Tachazi, right, come and see. Hahu Barnash Delo Zachi Lishtadle Bahai Alma Barai. Someone who doesn't study Torah in their life. Liu Ozil Bechashoche, he'll be going in darkness. Kadnafik Mahalma, when he leaves this world, Natlin Lay, they force him. The Alilin Lay Ligahenim, right? You know, again, it's like one of these horror movies. Like, no, no! And they're like pushing him in, you know, no, help, help, help! And they're gonna shove him in, whatever exactly that means. Atar Tata, some deep down, some lower place. You're going down. There's going to be no mercy. Dikre, and this place is called Bor Shaon Tit Hayavein, which is based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem, Pasuk Gimel, V'yaileini mi Bor Shaon mi Tit Hayavein. You know, bring me up from this decrepit pit, which is like raging mortar, whatever. It doesn't sound like a good place you'd want to be. Ubeginkach, and because of that, V'shibdolo ishtada baraisa b'hayalma, because he didn't study Torah in this world, but rather, isnateif, Betinufe Alma. Instead, he, you know, wrapped himself or covered himself in the grossness, the coarseness of this world, as it says in Bereishis, Vikhuhu Vyashlihu Oso Habora. So as a result, it's like when they threw Yosef to the boar, you're going to get thrown down to the boar, and this is a result of your actions. Da Hu Gehenim. What's the boar? Gehenim. Asar Didanin Luhu Inun Delo Ishtadu Barais. That's a place where you get judged if you didn't study Torah. Habor Reik. Right now, he really goes to town, darshaning the pasuk about Yosef. Bor Reik. I think that's probably the third paragraph there. I think Bor Reik. Right, it says about Yosef that the boar was empty, meaning to say, Kamat Ihu have a reik. Just like this guy is empty. You're empty. Where's your Torah? My time begin to lahav alabamayim. And the boar was reik because it had no water. Right, if you don't have water, mashul to Torah, you're like the boar rake. You're going to Gehenim. To Allah iskalu Yisrael me'arat kedisha ella begin to stalku me'araisa b'shtavuku mine. The Jewish people were only sent to the Golus because they didn't connect to Torah. They didn't learn Torah, right? Now it's of course true that the Psukim in Tanakh and various Gemaras give all sorts of theories as to why they got sent to the Golus. Fair enough. But it is true that there are Gemaras and there are even Makoros in Tanakh which sound like it's because of Torah. And this is the most famous one about Torah, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Mia Isha Chachamim Yavin. So right, this is the Gemara Nedarim, which if you do Daf Yomi, we did not long ago, two Masechtas ago, right? Which is they asked the Navim, the Navi asked the people, who's going to be smart to figure out why the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash is happening, right? Ama of Daretz, who can know the answer? And then no one knew the answer until Hashem Himself said, "Al Osam Es Torasi." Now the Gemara says it means they didn't do Birchas Torah, but certainly that doesn't contradict. And the Pashas of the Gemara is that they didn't learn it all. So this, again, is a double whammy of a Zohar. I think we have one more before we end. But our second Zohar, which again emphasizes the idea that if you don't learn Torah in the next world, there are going to be serious consequences. Here the focus being on Gehenim. V'lo'od. Come, please. Sit here. You want to sit here? Come around. V'lo'od. Furthermore, it's not only that you're going to go to Gehenim because you didn't learn Torah. Ela shetchilas dino shel adam. Right, you have to answer for everything in this world, in the next world, based on what we did in this world. But nevertheless, there's a priority, right? It's like lahavdil, like when they talk about bias in the news, right? So sometimes bias could be outright lying, but that's actually rare. Right? There's much more sophisticated, subtle forms of bias. It could be what you leave out, but also it could be just what you focus on, what you lead with, right? Like that's already creating an impression. Right, there are a lot of things that have good and bad, which is what you lead with, what you emphasize. So it's true, we're going to have to give an accounting for all 613 mitzvos when we die. But it's not irrelevant what the prosecutor starts with. Right, and says the Gemara, this is based on the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin and other places in Sanhedrin, Amar of Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, Ella, Al Divrei Torah. Right, so the first thing you're going to have to answer for is, did you shteig? Now again, we have said in the past, and I will reiterate it, that, and we have, lav dafka from Nefesh HaChayim, but from plenty of other makoros, it is clear that there's a sliding scale, right? And we have to trust in the infinite wisdom of the Rabbona Shel Olam, that he knows how much Torah you could have learned, as opposed to how much Torah you could have learned, as opposed to how much I could have learned. And it's not the same test. It's an individualized test. But there is an expectation that we would do something, and as I've said in the past, I'm pretty sure it's more than we're doing. Now again, could be Baruch Hashem, yeshiva students with, especially if you're Shanav, with pretty much no other care in the world, kimat, right? So maybe you are learning, I'm not even going to give a number, but enormous amount of time, and you think, sleep, breathe, learning. And maybe if you took the Bechina this year, you really would pass. I'm not saying not. When I was your age, maybe I would have passed. But for most of us, even if we're learning a lot, but we also have other things to do, and once we started doing other things, you know, on the margins, you know, it's hard to say. I'm speaking really personally. It's hard to say. I do a lot of important things. As a parent, and I have other jobs besides that don't directly involve teaching Torah, even though they're very important jobs, but they're not the actual Torah. Is that the only time I'm not learning? Only when I'm being a good husband, a good father, or working? You know. So, Tchilas Dinos, I'm going to have to also answer why I didn't give tzedakah. I'm also going to answer why I embarrassed people. I'm going to have to, you know, give an answer for why I sometimes lost my temper. I have to give an answer for, you know, why I didn't know certain things until Shabbos, and then from Shogeg I was violating all sorts of things. I'm sure I have to answer all those things. It's scary. But the first thing is going to be your Bittul Torah. It's scary, but that says something. And then one of the really powerful statements in Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, we spoke about in the past, that the sixth parak of Avos is really a brisa that was amended. I think we think in the time of the Gaonim, right? That's the whole parak is really about Talmud Torah, because that's the last week before Shavuos, the sixth parak. And one of the famous lines there is B'chol Yom V'Yom Baskol Yotzas Mehar Chorev. Right? There's a baskol that goes out from Har Sinai and it declares Shkom She'en Osek B'Torah. Nikra Nazir, that says other things too, Ayin Shem. But what Nafsh Chaim is focusing on is this particular statement that anyone who didn't learn Torah the way they could have gets rebuked. Kiken Mishpato, that's what the person deserves. Mipri Ma'alalov, Yasbihu, right? You will reap, right? You will sow the, you know, you sow the seeds that you reap the seeds that you sowed. I think that's the saying, all right? I got that right? You will be kotzer what you were Zareya in Yeshivish. Right? It's your fault. Right, this is every person should read these lines as if it's talking to mamish to them, right? How much is true only you know, but it's speaking to you. This is not abstract. You didn't want to choose the good, the true good. You knew it was good. You knew it's right. You didn't choose life every time you could have. Lo ulkal abrios v'alam uskulam. Right, these are things that are good. Torah is good for you, for everybody, and for a whole world. And it's you could have had more opportunities to be Davek and Akash Baruch Hu. You didn't choose that. As a result, what did you choose in essence? V'himit shifas oram shel ha'olamot. You, getting back, this is like, you know, nafsh chaim l'shitaso, right? That when you're learning Torah, right, you're pedaling, you're on that hamster wheel, and you're creating this electricity, which is then, you know, lighting up the whole world. So because you didn't learn as much as you could have, not you, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, not you, Reb Aaron Lichtenstein, you and you and you and me, because we didn't learn as much as we could have, the light's a little dimmer than it would have been otherwise. The kilkel ubilbel sidra merkava hakadosha. And you, because you didn't learn as much as you could have, you somehow messed up, you know, the whole heavenly chariot. The hechshicham, the garam ral atzmo, right? It was self-injurious. You hurt yourself. Shapasha b'gdei kodesh v'lavash tachtam b'gadim tzoam unutafim umutunafim. Excuse me. Wow. Right? You act as if you're frum. You act as if you do the right thing. You're wearing frum clothes. But underneath, who are you really? Disgusting. Dirty clothing. Right? What's really clothing you? What's really close to you? Who's really? Who are you really? You ran after your taivas. You ran after the pleasures of this world, the short-sighted things. And you are contaminated and dirtied from them. And you think you're going to get led to Olam Haba? No chance. This is really a very vivid image. It says, when you go through life, and I'm not sure if it means only in the next world or maybe even in this world. It definitely, I think, is including in the next world at least. Right? You have kind of angels who are there. You know, you are a designated angel. I don't know if this is one of, like, you know, the Morgan Freeman movies or something, but, like, you know, there's all those, always the same character who plays God or plays the angels, kind of a deep voice. And right? So I'm not sure if this is, you know, but he says, in this Kabbalistic, mystical construct here, it says you get like your shomer. He's your guy. He's your boger. He's that guy looking out for you. You have shomrim who are supposed to be with you. But guess what? When they realize that you're about to fry, that you're about to go deep, deep into that sheol tachtid because you didn't learn Torah and you got this tsoa, you know, it looks like you have a nice, you know, fancy clothing on the inside. You stink. What is that? You have a nice suit. Why you smell? Oh, because on the inside it's gross, disgusting because you have all... So says Ruchaim Voshner, these shomrim, They're like, I think someone's calling me. I'm hearing my name called over there. They're going to abandon you. The people who are supposed to be your showroom are going to flee. Because they can't get near it. It's bad for them. They can't handle the stench. They can't get near you with your stink. Also, mushotet ba'olam. V'timei v'timei yikra. You're going to just be left wandering without any protection up there in Shemayim or down wherever. You're tamei. Dabek b'mino, right? You know, basically, you know, you got to be... You got to be with other people who stink, so no one notices you. Right? You're gonna basically, you know, again, you're gonna reap what you sowed. You're gonna be no one good, no one holy is gonna want to be with you because really, at the core, you're rotten. Now, this is again very, very heavy, very extreme, maybe even hyperbolic. Fair enough, but okay, so discount it 10%. It's a little too heavy for you. Okay, discount it 20%. But it's saying something. Again, it's true. We have two Zohars and. You know, a person goes, well, this doesn't really speak to me. I'm a Zohar man. Whatever that means. Okay, fine. But the bottom line is, it's not just a Zohar. We started off with a Gemara, very powerful Gemara, the Medrash and Mishlei. Then we hit two Zohars. Now we have Pirkei Avos with Rechaim Volozhin embellishing, to be fair. And now let's hit one more Zohar, and then we'll end with more with one more Gemara. But the Zohar next says, Reish Parshas Mitzora. We have time. We'll skip around. We'll do just the highlights of this Zohar because we're not going to have time. Otherwise, we're coming close to the end. Again, same idea. Again, all about the Shomrim and the people who are supposed to be with you. And basically, he says, if you skip down a little bit, anyone who's not Oseg in Torah, basically, now talking about Hashem, something we saw before Israel. Hashem wants to... You abandon Hashem in this world, Hashem says, I'm going to abandon you in the next world. Hashem wants to be far, far, far... away from you. So if you just go to the last few lines of this Zohar, Vakad Ihu Ishtadel, namely, Uliba Raisa, Kamanotra Zimnim the Kabe, Lantre Leishish Shayele. Right, the more a person did study Torah, let's think positively, then the more you're going to have Shomrim. People are going to want to be there to protect you. Even the Shechina will be Shariele, the Shechina will be with you. Vakula Machrize Kame Vamre, and everyone's going to be calling out as you come close. Havu Yakra the Yokna Demalka. Give cover to this person who is a tzura. Right? Diukna is like a tzura, like a, you resemble a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Havu yikra livrein demalka. Give cover to this son of the king, the prince. It natir hu ba'alma dein, ba'alma d'asi, zaka chiduke. Right? So a person who did what they had to do, did the right things, he was shamur in olam hazeh, he's also going to be shamur in olam haba. That's really the last two prakim. Is the punishment in olam hazeh and olam haba. But now we're going back to what he had seen even before the last two prakim, which is, but again, it's zelu mazeh, as bad and as heavy as the negative here is, that's what we had seen in previous prakim in terms of the positive. And let's just finish up with a Gemara Chagiga of Amar B'Mishnah, Parakamra Chagiga, Mu'uva Sol Yuchal Litkon, right? Pasuk in the famous pasuk in Kohelet, something that's crooked cannot be fixed, cannot be straightened out. So this is a very interesting comment of Rashbi, right? The day after Lag Bomer, that's good. It says, when we say mu'uvas, what does it mean somebody who's always bad? Mu'uvas means something that was good, it was straight, and then it went off the derech. Bezezeh, who's that? Tamil Chacham HaParish Min HaTorah. We saw this in previous chapters, that on some level, there's something even worse about a person who used to learn and now doesn't. It could be even worse than someone who never learned. That's mu'uvas l'yuchal litkon. He was straight, now he's crooked. He had been on the right path. He had been learning. Now he doesn't. Oy lehem lebrio shiros vein and yodas maros. Oy lehem me'abonu shatorah. Oy, nebuch. Someone who used to know the truth, who used to see it, and now does not see it anymore. And last but not least, let's conclude. The kamasach adam nisbonein al zetamein. A person really has to be reflective and think about this. V'loshis daito v'kliosav ishtonan. And a person should put in tremendous effort to really internalize this. Ba'i lechoshe chas hashem kaim mehevlo. Should waste his life. And you look back, you're 60, 70, 80 years old. What did I do with all my time? How much TV did I watch? How much Twitter? How much like Instagram? Like how much Yot? Hashem only gives you a finite amount of time. And as a result, you chose, no one forced you, you chose not to be connected to the Torah. When the time comes and they're shoveling that dirt back over your grave, you want your neshama to go back up to the high place, to be bound up, to be close in the bounds of Hashem. But you're not going to get that if you didn't study Torah in this world. You threw away your opportunity, and it won't be smooth. It wasn't smooth in this world, and as a result, it will not be smooth in the next world. Again, you so to speak, dissed Hashem in this world. Hashem said, okay, then I'm going to want to have anything to do with you in the next world. So again, just to put context before Mirz Hashem will finish the parak, we saw previous parakim were all about the reward in this world and the next. Last parak was the punishment in this world, the punishment in the next, and the next parakim will hopefully then be transitions as we get to the last section of the shara.